Hi, this is Liz Jote.
And this is Kathleen Ortiz.
And this is Neo Agent, where we discuss all things publishing. Today we're going to be discussing hot genres and skill sets, using what you've got.
So I'm sure you've heard it a million times at conferences and blogs, on Twitter. You know, we see certain trends in the queries and the slush piles, and Liz and I were talking and we thought, you know, it'd be great to talk about sort of the difference between writing for a trend and writing because you're passionate about something.
There's nothing wrong with necessarily writing for a trend as long as that trend fits you, what your skill set is and what you bring to the table, what your interests are. Because oftentimes the best writers and the best writing comes from people who know how to utilize what they're most interested in and make the reader interested in it as well. And we're going to talk about different genres that are very, very hot right now that a lot of agents are going to be seeing a lot of queries for, that we're seeing a lot of queries for, and talk about it in a different way. So we're going to be talking about the genres of dystopian, paranormal, urban fantasy, and science fiction, and even literary fiction towards the end here. So as far as dystopians, I mean, I think everybody knows what the definition of a dystopian is, right?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part. And even at that, I think the person that best defines the different genres we're going to talk about is Jennifer from the Andrea Brown Literary Agency. She is also known as Literati Cat on Twitter. And she has a fabulous blog with a glossary of genres that I think every writer should have bookmarked.
Yeah.
Computer.
And if you are near your computer now, go feel free to Google her. Literati Cat genres is the best way to Google her. That post will come right up, and it's a fabulous little glossary for you of all the genres most of the genres that exist for fiction and the adult and the YA realm.
Yep. As far as dystopian goes, I think Liz and I both pretty much agree that someone who has a strong interest in history is probably going to do the best job with dystopians.
Yeah, and the reason for that is that dystopians count on structure, and they primarily deal with society's structure. And the best way for you to understand society's structure is to know your own history. Oftentimes, the reason the dystopians feel so familiar is because they are based on the familiar. And if you have a deep interest in society, whether that is the way Roman culture was structured out, that can inspire your work. Or, you know, the way that our states are divided has inspired lots of works.
Civil wars, you know, wars over territories, wars between brothers.
And it's also just in the dystopian realm, the reason that they're so interesting to adults and make such great crossovers is because there is the authors who do so well at creating those worlds do understand history and can impart it in a way, in fiction, in a way that speaks to adult readers.
Dystopian's also about humans coming together and rebuilding society,
yes,
which has been done a few times in history.
Yes.
So, you know, it's...
We'll do it again.
And
no.
We will. So, you know, it's one of those things that's done over and over. It's just, you know, the difference is there's that one element or that one change that humans undergo in order to make their new society different from the previous. But the same mistakes and the same trends and themes are still pretty much there.
Yeah, make no mistake about it. Dystopians are bleak. They are bleak. It's the end of the world. They are bleak. But that being said, I believe that there has to be a little bit of a ray of hope in there.
Absolutely.
Whether that is a ray of hope for humanity or a ray of hope for the character themselves. So it's important, especially if you're writing for children, to never forget the fact that they do need hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different story if you're talking about, you know, McCarthy and you're talking about the road. You know, we're adults. We can take the fact that, you know, people are eating babies. Like, we can do that. We can handle that. We have a very nuanced sense of right and wrong. And that is actually in dystopians for adults and for YA as well. And that's part of the thing that makes them so texturally interesting.
Yeah, and you can still have a dark dystopian for YA, but you do have to have some shred of hope in there.
Something for us to rebuild our society with.
Yep.
So the second one is paranormals.
Yeah, paranormals. And I think one main important thing that we want to touch on is the difference between paranormal and urban fantasy.
Oh my God, please do.
Very, very similar in the sense that, you know, there's the paranormal element of, you know, otherworldly creatures. However, urban fantasy has to take place in, dun-da-da-da, an urban setting.
Yes.
You can't have an urban fantasy that takes place in the farming fields of Kentucky. You can't have an urban fantasy that takes place, you know, in the Garden of Eden,
right
at the beginning of time.
Right.
Whereas, you
that
know,
would be called Genesis.
you have to have, you know, and with paranormal, you know, paranormal itself allows for different settings and different time periods. You know, you don't have to have it in a city setting, but urban fantasy, primarily the setting itself is what makes it urban fantasy. It's what, you know, it's what, you know, the characters have to sort of go through. It's what they have to experience. It's what they have to interact with. That urban setting somehow drives that plot.
Yeah, and as far as its difference with paranormal as well, you know, paranormal is more interested in humanoids than urban fantasy is. Urban fantasy, you know, there are dragons, man. There can be dragons, there can be scaly things, there can be all kinds of four-legged beasts,
mm-hmm.
and all of that. Paranormal
giant things. Reptiles,
right.
Coming out of the sewers to eat people. Okay, not quite, but.
But yeah, paranormals are a little bit more human.
Yeah, you're not going to have a paranormal if the only otherworldly creature is dragon. You're not going to have a paranormal if the only otherworldly creature is, like, Godzilla.
And we should totally discuss the fact, let's just get into the nitty-gritty of paranormal right now, because as we all know, paranormal will be its own is its own genre now.
Yeah, Barnes & Noble.
And, you know, there's going to be a big old section, and I know that there are lots of people who are out there who are rolling their eyes and saying, oh my God, vampires, wolves, all of those things. But paranormal, we're here to tell you, can be more than what you've seen right now.
Absolutely.
It can be more than that. It wouldn't have its own genre if people didn't think that it could be more than what we have right now. And for that to happen, and we, as agents, would like to see more than what is already out right now.
Yeah, I'm totally open to paranormal if it's something that involves a creature that hasn't been written about before, or isn't just, let's say, a vampire, werewolf, or ghost that is a retelling of a book that just came out in the past 5 years.
Right, and it's going to be a very incredibly competitive genre. A lot of people are writing paranormal because, in particular, paranormal romance, because, you know, hey, we all know that bottom line of it is that it makes money. But
if you rock the folklore or you rock at mythology or legends, especially ones that haven't been written about over and over again,
bring it to paranormal.
You need to bring it to paranormal and crank out something new and different, something that hasn't been seen before.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something someone's going to want to pick up.
And if you have ever liked the paranormal, but you feel as though that the genre needs something new, then bring it something new. And you can only bring it something new through utilizing what you bring to the naturally bring to the table, what your natural curiosity is. If it's a paranormal that's historical paranormal, that would be interesting.
I would like that.
That
Send
is
it
a genre
to me.
Blend.
Send it to me.
Oh, I thought of that. Anyway. A historical paranormal, you know, think about changing things about it, whether it's a setting or a viewpoint that hasn't been explored, or, you know, hey, you guys are the imagination factories. You guys can think of all things and make all things possible. So if you feel as though that any genre that we've discussed could use a little bit of freshening, perhaps you should bring something to it.
Yeah.
Urban fantasy.
Urban fantasy. Oh, I love urban fantasy.
I do too. I think that people I think that people are really feeling about urban fantasy, though, the same way that they were feeling about paranormal, where they love the genre itself,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I think that people are ready for new voices in urban fantasy as well.
Absolutely. Also with science fiction, I think the one thing that I see with, I don't know if you noticed, we segued into science fiction.
There's our segue. Smooth as butter.
With science fiction, for me at least, I see a lot of, ooh, we're going to do Star Trek, except different.
Mm-hmm.
Or, ooh, we're going to do Star Wars, but different. Or, ooh, we're going to do, and it needs to be something more, and it needs to be something different. It needs to be a new story. You can't just take an old story, plop new names in it in a new setting, and call it original. For me, what really, really works for science fiction, what I think is pretty much necessary, is either a really strong grasp on science itself with some type of very smart injection of it into the plot, or a very strong technology component that is advanced. That's not just, you know, cool remotes or cool watches. Something different, something more.
I mean, I think for me, science fiction is a little tricky because I like science fiction. I like elements of science fiction, but I don't want the science fiction element to override the entire story.
Oh no, absolutely not. You have to care about the characters and their journey.
Yeah, and I think it's important to have that kind of balance. Like I enjoy science fiction as science elements used in a kind of dystopian structure-y kind of way where you know, the world setting has a science sci-fi kind of feel to it, but the story that's being told at the heart of it is a story that you can literally pick up with two hands and place somewhere else, and it will be true. It will still feel true.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, I like science elements. I don't know, hard sci-fi, not for me. Not for me. But everybody is different.
Which leads us to something where I personally don't look for often. However, I know that Liz is a big fan, so I'll let her take the reins for literary fiction.
Yeah, I think that there's a little bit of a trend of literary fiction happening. What I mean by literary fiction is fiction that is, I guess, birthed from contemporary fiction. Contemporary YA, but it's more, it's very focused on language and the way that the narrative is told. There's a bit more of a poetry to it as opposed to, and you're supposed to notice the sentences and the beauty of the sentences. And I think that there are a few writers that have come out this year and in the last few years that exemplify that may even be working in different genres other than quote-unquote literary fiction. Literary fiction's kind of a misnomer.
Yeah, I mean,
in YA, but
you can have,
I believe that there's that.
Yes,
there.
You can have a paranormal that is technically also literary fiction. You can have, you know, a dystopian that's technically literary fiction. It's all about the language and the use of words and, like Liz said, the beauty behind those words.
It is so much about learning about who the characters are as people and accepting them and the beauty of the language. And I think it elevates teen fiction. I do. I honestly do think that it elevates teen fiction. And there's nothing wrong with that because, you know, YA and children's writers do have a lot to say, as much, if not more, than sometimes adult writers do. So yeah, so those are our hot genres. I guess we should talk a little bit more about the skill sets too, because I don't know if we've talked enough about the skill sets. I mean, we've mentioned with dystopians that there should be an interest in world building and
history.
History is a huge part of that.
The paranormal and urban fantasy should definitely have a grasp specifically on the history of, you know, how those
how that
creatures
gets
came to be or how those
yeah,
you know,
or
creatures
even,
ended up there.
I mean, even as simple as saying, you know, with a paranormal, you can write a Southern Gothic. Like, how did other people do Southern Gothics? You know,
Southern Gothic, any type of Gothic, send it to me.
Gothic, amazing, amazing stuff. I mean, you know, if you look at the history, become your own, act like you're in English class all over again, you know. Paranormals, you know, so much of the setting is important.
Yep.
We talked about the historical element.
Yep.
You can be a student of history, but you can be a student of great great works with suspense and with and sense of eeriness to them.
Yeah.
And you can bring that sense of eeriness to your work, your contemporary work, and your am writing for paranormal. So that kind of, so the skill set really is just
important.
Yeah, it's really, that skill set is less of a skill set. It's more like do your research.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're going to really need to do your research for paranormal because let me tell you, that market's going to be pretty fierce.
Yeah, and with science fiction, again, it goes back to that whole, you know, the root in the important smart science element or technology element.
Yeah, and so you have to know, if you're going to be basing your entire book off of a theory, it can't be a theory that you read on Yahoo one day, because we would hope
yeah.
that your world would be way more involved than that. So pick up a science, but browse the science section, the nonfiction science section at your local bookstore or your indie or your library. See what it is that people are discussing and concerned about, and let it inform your writing. The same thing with, I think, urban fantasy, you know, you can pull in the Neil Gaiman and go all the way down into the subterranean, you know, like
yeah.
London, if you wanted to, and really just go for it and let your imagination fly when it comes to urban fantasy. Because it's set in a city doesn't mean it has to be a modern day city. It can be a city in any area whatsoever, and how does that city mess with your plot or your structure or you know, inform your characters or shape who your characters are.
And and literary fiction, don't just sit down and say, I'm gonna write literary fiction. It's more so who you are as a writer. You know, not everyone is literary, you know, not everyone can write literary fiction. You know,
yeah.
it's you either do it or you don't. And it's definitely not something you should force.
Force, no.
Because that's when purple prose comes out.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, the abuse of too many adjectives, the abuse of extremely long sentences that could be clipped into four words.
Ooh, man, that when you say abuse, it just comes so hard. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that you shouldn't be trying to sound smart. You should just be smart. Remember that your audience is there, they need to be entertained as much as they need the beauty of your language.
Yeah.
And I think that's all I've got to say
yeah,
about
I
that.
Think, I think you covered it.
So I guess we should do our task for NeoAgent Task of the Week.
Yeah. Basically, we want you to sit down, you know, write a list of your skill set and see, you know, do your interests reflect the genre that you're writing? You know, do you have a strong interest in history, so you're working toward a dystopian? Do you have a strong interest in folklore, mythology, so you're working on a paranormal, urban fantasy, so on and so forth?
Or, alternatively, if you do make that list, and then you read your writing, and you find out that there's something about you that you are not putting in that text, perhaps you should go and do some research and get more involved with the things that you love so that you can bring it back to your writing.
It can only enhance the manuscript, making it a better manuscript and you a better writer.
Yeah. What's the harm?
Yep.
So that's just about it for us.
Yeah. This is Kathleen Ortiz.
And this is Liz Jote. And this was NeoAgent.
We will see you next time.